This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, we're blessed to have Kyle and Ardarius back there. We've got good young corners with Marlon. You know, I think we'll see, hopefully. I mean, I would anticipate our secondary is going to play like they did over the last 8, 9, 10 games of the season next year, and that's a comforting thing. I am actually ironically looking at a safety upstairs right now in the draft. So, you know, no, but we'll go through it and we'll look at all the players and we'll rank the board like we always do. And if the best guy is a free safety at that pick, then we'll take him. We'll be very happy with it.
So Eric DaCosta and that end of year presser as the draft is approaching. We're a little over 2 weeks away and talking about safety and. Seems all the mocks have the Ravens taking a safety with their first round pick at the moment. And secondary, they love taking corners. So with 11 picks, the back end could be a place where they double down in this draft, couldn't it?
Most definitely. And yeah, we're not sitting here talking about the draft 24 hours a day. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've certainly dabbled. And the idea of them waiting on a defensive lineman and taking a defensive back early and most likely a safety over a corner is certainly a scenario that we've discussed at length. And that could be the way the board breaks, and that could be what they do. Or like we've told you, that Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M or Harmon out of Oregon, if those D linemen are available at that pick, I think they might take that and wait on a defensive back. There were like three position groups that I circled here for this exercise. And look, maybe they don't use all 11 picks, right? Maybe they only end up using 9 or 10 because of some trades to start acquiring more draft capital for the 2026 selection process. But like, I would be stunned if they don't take multiple defensive linemen, and they might take multiple defensive tackles. I mean, they might take 2 D tackles and 2 edges. Like, a third of their draft picks could come on the D line. That wouldn't shock me. I don't know that they would take multiple safeties, but taking multiple corners, how could that surprise anybody at this point? I mean, they do that in years when they only have 7 or 8 picks, depending on the way things fall. And then I could still see them taking 2 offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
You know, multiple offensive linemen. Like, if they took, you know, 2 D tackles, an edge, a linebacker, a safety, 2 corners, 2 O linemen, a tight end and a kicker. Like, if you get to 11 that way, like, that wouldn't shock me. If they drafted a running back in the late rounds, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, we're almost simpatico. I have them taking 2 offensive linemen. I have them taking a receiver. We know that Eric DaCosta loves
swing.
Receiver. 2 D linemen, 2 edge, safety, corner. Wouldn't be surprised at an inside linebacker to bring in linebacker some competition there. And then a kicker. That's my 11.
Yeah, I don't know how all these kids make their team. And look, maybe that's part of the reason they don't, it doesn't usually work out for them. But I think part of the reason they like drafting injured guys as well, we're going to stash him on IL all year. It's going to be a redshirt year.
Yep.
We take him now, we get him in our system, we coach him up for a year. Now, it turns out you don't often get bang for your buck that way, or sometimes it takes the kid 2-3 years for the light bulb to come on because of all that missed time, and then by then you find yourself in some weird contractual situations. if they are going to use all these picks, then I think it would make a lot of sense to lean into where this draft really provides the most quantity and quality, and that will just bring you back to the D line. And we, you know, we all got the same text from Bobby D about the
Sumer Sports
yes. draft Bible that they put out, and Bobby, you know, DePaul is their they're an analytics company, and he's their primary evaluator of D linemen all the way from high school through the NFL. I mean, everything from the highest end defensive lineman free agent in the NFL to, you know, a three-star high school recruit. Bobby's watched him, and he just keeps pounding the table that every single round there's going to be two or three defensive linemen who you're going to think about taking.
And Bobby D was saying this a year ago, mm-hmm. and yes. now he's already gotten a head start on next year's class, and he said, you better draft a defensive lineman now
yes.
because next year's class is nowhere near as good.
He told us at the beach last year that this year's defensive line class was...
That was the day after the Ravens' first exhibition game.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was right. Like, now you got guys like Daniel Jeremiah saying, what, 12 draft eligible, or 12 guys had a draftable grade a year ago on the D-line. This year it's 24. And so...
Yeah, and I think Bobby's got even more than that. So it's hard for me to think that the Ravens prizing that historically and always sort of investing in that, and then having this plethora of picks and having the needs match up with what they already philosophically believe in, and with an abundance of opportunities to throw darts here, and they don't want to pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, they'll pay their own guy, but they're mm-hmm. not going to buy it from the outside. They'll buy Calais Campbell at the end in a trade for, what was that, a fourth-round pick or whatever?
I think it was a five. Oh, you mean when they got him from Jacksonville.
Yes. You know what I mean? But that's how they do it. They'll pay for Justin Houston when he's not making $20 million a year anymore. He's making $7 million. They'll pay for Clowney, not when he's off the rotation of franchise tags and you get him there.
Coming off a down year.
So that's all the more reason why, if they use 11 picks and four or five of them are defensive linemen, I'm not going to be mad at them. And they're pretty good at that. Like,
yes.
Their success rate
yes.
with these guys, especially interior defensive linemen, is really high.
What about the offensive line part of it? And this is a conversation we've been having for a couple of years now. Getting a true left tackle in this draft. Now, I'm not saying high, but at least a developmental guy, I think, has to be a priority.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest offensive line draft in the world, but like, when you have 11 picks and you like to build your team from the inside out, it would stand to and your left tackle is very much year to year. And look, I still think they probably look at Rosengarten as their left tackle in the future.
They also aren't above drafting a guy like they look at as a project, like in the later rounds. That they this guy.
Well, like, if they see somebody who they think they can turn into a Patrick McCary in the fifth round, I think they'll just do it.
Yes.
This guy could eventually provide cover at three different spots. Like, we don't have that guy anymore. He got priced out of our, you know, out of where we can, you know, where we think it's reasonable to pay him. Yeah. I mean, look, and we've talked about this, and I think a lot of other people will catch on several months down the road, because that's usually how it goes around here. But like, this Linderbaum decision is not a slam dunk.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's just not. I mean, that fifth-year option with one O-line designation, I don't think that's tenable for them. And if you're him, I don't know that you're dying to do a deal right now. Unless you're getting Creed Humphrey-type money, and I wouldn't give him Creed Humphrey-type money. But I don't blame him for wanting it. In which case, you usually find best of breed centers outside the first round. And there could be one on day two that they take who, now you've got next man up, and then maybe you do trade him. I'm not paying a center $20 million a year. I'm just not.
Tyler Linderbaum has the highest fifth-year option for his draft class. He has the highest, because how it works is, depending on how many Pro Bowls you mm-hmm. make, and he's made two Pro Bowls, so it's the true franchise tag
yes.
value of offensive line.
Which includes tackles.
And that is the highest number of his draft class. Anyone selected in the first round.
So if you're him, and you're seeing what Dan Foote got on the open market as a kind of a failed project tackle who's got all the physical attributes but hasn't played at a high level. Like, and you see how overpaid guys get when they get to the market, and you've got that sort of leverage in your corner. And if these guys aren't going to pay you, they'll find somebody who is, because there's teams with cap space to burn who would love to say, oh, we've got a 25-year-old best of, one of the top three centers in the league, and that's going to help our young quarterback. But like for the Baltimore Ravens, when now, like, bro, they're about to have to start paying receivers too.
Yes. Yes. Because I would assume they're going to make an adjustment to Bateman's deal this year. Like, he's going to want a bigger bag, and Zay Flowers is coming.
So do you need a $20 million center?
No.
They've never paid centers in the past. I'd trade them.
Coming up next here on the program, it's League at Large, and as we close in on the draft, we're going to hear from Miami coach Mike McDaniel, the new Patriots coach Mike Vrabel, and Giants coach Brian Daboll. It's draft talk, and it's League at Large next here on The Fan.